In your Bibles this morning, the book of Romans. If you've been following along, we've been preaching through the book of Acts, and I really have a burden. I know that most people that I know believe there's something significant about the Bible. They think there's something special about it, and if you think there's something special about the Bible, you're right. But I want to go from understanding and believing there's something special about this Bible to understanding and believing the details of what is special about the Bible. And that's my passion and my burden, to study God's Word. And God has given me an opportunity and a platform in which to preach God's Word and teach God's Word. And I know for a fact that the perfect Word of God will help you. It'll change your life for the glory of God. It'll make things better. It'll make you a better mom, a better dad, a better grandparent, a better child. It'll make your life better, and it'll make eternity much better. So we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the Bible, and I love the opportunity to preach it. I don't ever try to come up with my own messages. I just try to come up with what God wants us to hear from His Word. And so we're working our way through the Bible. We've just finished the book of Acts, which is a historical book of the Acts of the Apostles. It's a historical book of the beginning of the church. One of the main characters in the book of Acts is this man, Paul. He begins, and we learn of him first as Saul of Tarsus. I love it. Pastor Chuck often says, when you're getting ready to go preach, as I've preached around him for years, and when you're getting ready to go preach, he's repeating an old preacher for him. He'll smack you on the back and say, "Go tell us what Paul said." And you know, you hear the preacher, they often talk about, well, Paul said, and it's true, because what we want to do is we want to explain what the Apostle Paul said in his letters. So we move from the book of Acts into the book of Romans. It's the first that we come to in our Bibles of the epistles. And the word epistle is a word we don't need to be as scared of. It's literally a letter. So the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to a group of people. I like to have things right on the bottom shelf. That's about as where I can get it. And so when we think about these epistles, the letters, God used Paul to write these letters to different people. So let's look at the Bible. The first group of Paul's letters we come to in the Bible are written to groups of people, and primarily churches. So the first book we come to is Romans. You'll never believe this, but he wrote a letter to the people, the Christian people in Rome. It's simple, is it? Is it not? But it helps me to understand. I'm thinking, as I'm studying this, he wrote this to help the people in Rome, the Christian people in Rome. Paul had never been to Rome. At this point, when he wrote this book of the Bible, he had not been to Rome, but a number of Christians had gone to Rome, and they'd started a church. And so in an attempt to help that church in Rome ground themselves in Christian Bible doctrine, the Apostle Paul writes the book of Romans. So out of the book of Romans, we get so much of our truth and understanding of how God works in our hearts. How many of you ever heard the phrase Roman road? Now, the Roman road, a lot of people have memorized the Roman road as a means to tell people how they can be saved. And in the Roman road, you have verses like Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, what's the Apostle Paul writing to the people at Rome? He's writing and letting them know that you're a sinner. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He continues. He says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." Paul's teaching this truth, these truths, and elaborating on what Jesus has done. Your sin condemns you. Your sin condemns you. Then he says, that's not it. That's not all. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And we open our Bible, we turn in the book of Romans to chapter 10, and he says these wonderful truths. He says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He says, "With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And so when I think about the book of Romans, I think about the fact that Paul is writing to a group of people that he wants to help understand Bible truth. It helps me to understand the book of Romans. And not only was it written to the people in Rome originally, the church in Rome, but it's also given to us so that we can understand God's working in the hearts of people. And I love it. Someone said about the book of Romans that it will help you live right with God, live right with yourself, and live right with others. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? As we think about those things, I want to have that kind of spirit. So Paul wrote the book of Romans to the people at Rome. He wrote the books of Corinthians to the people in Corinth. He wrote the books of Thessalonians to the folks in Thessalonica, Philippians to the people in Philippi. And then he writes a few to some specific people. He writes to Timothy. He writes to Philemon. He writes to Titus. And so when we see these books of the Bible, it helps us to understand the direction and why they were written. And so when we come to the book of Romans, we begin our study in the book of Romans. We'll begin reading here the first six verses. It's an introduction. Now, normally when we write a letter, how do you write a letter? Dear so-and-so. And then we write our letter, and then we conclude the letter with who it was from. Now, Paul does that differently. Paul begins his letter by saying who he is and describing who he is. How many of you have ever read a letter and you see the dear Cody or dear whatever your name is, but before you ever read the contents, you want to see who it's from? Why do you do that? How many of you have ever done that? You get a letter. Before you're going to take the time to read what's in the letter, you're going to see who it's from. How many of you have ever done that? Well, Paul says, I know how you are, people. He says, so I'm just going to tell you who I am from the get-go. And it matters who it's from. It matters who it's from. So he describes here who he is, and we'll take our message and today's sermon from the first six verses of Romans 1. The Bible says in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray you'd bless the preaching of your word. Allow it, Lord, to pierce into our souls and do an eternal work, I pray, in our midst today. Help me to exalt your Son. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to just begin here understanding that Paul is telling everybody who he is. Why in the world would he take the time to explain who he is? Because if you know who he is and you know his credentials, then you can believe and care about what he says. You know, it matters who you are in connection with what you say. I was thinking about going to Food City. I know half of you will go to Food City after church this morning, because we normally can have like a second church service there, because every time I go to Food City after church, there's all kinds of folks there. But I want you to imagine with me for just a minute. If I walk into Food City after church, and I go up to the cashier, and I just say, all right, buddy, you've done good this morning, go take a break. That wouldn't work right, would it? Even worse, just imagine if I walked up to a cashier and said, all right, here's what I'd like for you to do. Just hand me that cash drawer. I'll take that for you. Well, that's probably robbery, because I don't have that authority, right? But if the manager comes and says, hey, take a break, no big deal. If the manager comes and says, here, let me have your cash till, no problem. It matters who you are in relationship to what you say and the authority that you have. So the Apostle Paul says, I want to help the people at Rome, and if I'm going to help the people at Rome, then I'm going to begin by explaining to them who I am and what I'm all about. There was a preacher, his name was Clayton Shumpert. He's been here a number of times. I remember meeting him when I was just a kid here at Chilhowee Baptist Church. He's a veteran missionary, and he'd come to Boiling Springs Baptist Church to preach. And he did a very wise thing. He stood up before my church and he said, I want to tell you, everybody looks at the new preacher. This is the first time I've met most of you. And everybody looks at the new preacher and they want to know, who is this? What's he about? And so he had a joke that he liked to tell. And so he said, you're wondering who I am, so I'm just going to tell you who I am. He said, I have a Baptist brain. I have a Pentecostal heart. I have Jehovah's Witness feet. And I'm praying for Mormon money. And it helped me understand who he was. And it matters who you are before you speak. Has anyone ever told you something that you said, I know who you are. I don't care to listen to that. Because of who they are, they don't have the effectiveness that they ought to have. And the Apostle Paul says, I want to tell you who I am, what I'm about, because I want my words to be effective. That principle is not only true in writing epistles, but it's true in living life, and living the Christian life. You see, if you're a person of integrity and folks know it, your words mean something. If you're a scoundrel and people know it, your words mean something else. See, I want to have the kind of life that is effective. And as Paul began to write these words, one of the most thick, wonderful, deep books of the whole Bible, he says, I better declare to these folks what makes me and what makes my message credible. It wasn't the fact that he was so good. It was the fact that the Jesus that he served was so perfect. And if you want to be an effective father or mother, you want to be an effective citizen in your community, if you want your words and your life to be effective for the glory of God, then I think there's some things here in the opening part of this passage of Scripture that will help you. The Apostle Paul begins here by saying, number one, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He says, if I'm going to let these folks know what's important to me, then I'm going to have to just lay some things out here. And the very first thing he comes up with is, he says, folks at Rome, this is Paul, and I am a servant of Jesus Christ. He had the right master. Number one, he had the right master. Who was Paul? Paul said, this is Paul. Paul, number one, has the right master. He says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, this word servant would have rang loud and clear in the ears of the Roman people, because the word servant here was the exact same word they would have used to describe an everyday, normal, run-of-the-mill slave. Someone that was in bondage to a master. Someone who was the slave of a master. And Paul said, now look, I want you to know something. I'm a free Roman citizen, but I am a servant of Jesus Christ. He says, I've just made myself a slave to Jesus Christ. Now, when we first hear that, we think, oh no, I don't want to be a slave to anything. That's a good notion, but I'll just tell you something. It's important that we are servant to the right master. Do you know that we're all servants to certain things? Some things we're servants to, and it's really good. I am a servant to my children and my wife, and I should be. I should be. I should take serious my responsibility to provide for and train, direct and love and cherish and nurture my family. And I'll just tell you, I'm a servant to them. That's good. Sometimes we become servants to the wrong thing. Have you ever seen anybody that was a slave or a servant to drugs or alcohol? Have you ever met somebody that was a slave or a servant to some other vice? Some people become servants and slaves to their professions and their careers and their own ambitions. Now, folks, I'm not telling you that it's wrong to work hard. As a matter of fact, we should. But I am telling you that it is wrong to be a servant to something that is secondary. We should be a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what I found out? That if you'll put Jesus first in your life, then you'll be a servant to Jesus. You'll be a better servant to the things that are good. If you put Christ first, you'll be a better father. You'll be a better mother. If you put Christ first and you live a principled life according to God's Word, the best that you know how, not perfect. I'm just saying, trying to do the right thing. If you'll make yourself the servant of the Lord Jesus, you'll be better at everything else you do. You put Christ first. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Paul said, now look, I want my words to count. I want my influence to mean something to you, and I want you to know something. I'm not putting Paul first. I'm not putting Paul's ambitions first. He says, folks at Rome, I want you to know something. I am a servant to Jesus Christ. There's a truth in the book of Exodus, chapter 21. Slavery was something that was prominent and rampant in these days. Become a way of life. I'm not saying that I'm for that, but I'm saying I'm for being a servant of Jesus. But there was a way that a Hebrew slave with a Hebrew master could be freed. If you were a slave for 7 years, at the end, actually it was 6 years, at the end of your 6 year, you had the opportunity to be set free. You were free and clear. But there was a way to stay as a servant of your master. If a man, a servant, for 7 years had a good master, he would weigh his options and understand that it was better to be the servant of a good master than to be free with no aid. And so the way that a servant at the end of his 6 years could continue to serve his master is he just had to simply say, I love my master. I love my master. The Bible says that he would then put his ear up against a post and they'd run an awl through his ear. It'd be like getting your ear pierced. I'm not for that necessarily, but he'd get his ear pierced and he'd bear in his body the mark of his master. You know what Paul said in one place? He said, I bear in my body the mark of Christ. He said, I am marked by my master. I love my master. I want to serve Jesus. And if you put Christ first in your life, you're going to make better decisions. If you put Christ first in your life, your words are going to matter. Your influence is going to be different. If you put Christ first, you'll love your wife more than yourself. If you put Christ first, you'll put your home in the proper order. If you love Christ first, you'll experience the peace that only Christ can give. Old Paul said, I just want you to know, people, this is who Paul is. Paul is a servant of Jesus Christ. He was a servant of Jesus Christ. Number one, he says, I've got the right master. Number two, the Bible says in verse number one, as it continues, he says, I am called to be an apostle. I am called to be an apostle. Now, these are words that are that we need to make sure that we understand. Called. Now, I remember people talking about preachers talking about their call to preach, being called to preach. And I always imagined it to be some spooky thing to be called to preach. Did the lights flash? Did you get struck by lightning? I didn't want the lights to flash or get struck by lightning. I'm scared of that kind of stuff. But a call. Now, this word called here is very simple. It literally means invited. It means invited. And so Paul says, I want you to know something about me. He said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, and I am called to be an apostle. He says, I've been invited to be an apostle. Now, don't think too much about, overthink the word apostle. Now, there is a group of apostles, the disciples of Christ. There were a group of disciples, including the Apostle Paul, who had extra, they had extra power during this season of time. They had the power of healing. Some spoke in tongues, et cetera, et cetera. Don't get too uptight when you see the word apostle, because the word apostle literally means ambassador. It means a delegate, a spokesman. And so Paul said that God has invited me to be a spokesman for him. He says, I am called to be an apostle. Now, here's something that we need to know. He had the right mission. He had the right mission. What mission are you on in your life? I'm busy. I like to be busy. I like projects. I like to take on things. I like to do things. I like a mission. What mission are you on? Now, your missions are fine as long as Jesus is first. He says, here's my mission. He says, I've been invited by God to be an apostle. Now, here's something that I don't want you to forget. Look what the Bible says in verse number 6. As he continues addressing this letter, he says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? He's writing to everybody at the church at Rome, and he says, hey, look. He says, all of you are called of Jesus Christ too. You know what we've been given to do? If you're here today and you know Jesus by faith as your Savior, if you're a Christian, then you have a job to do. You've been invited to be an ambassador, a delegate for Jesus Christ. Now look, what you do is secondary to what God has called you to do. Now look, I'm the preacher. It's a little bit different for me because I'm the preacher. My job is to preach the word, and I'm going to keep doing the best of my ability. But that doesn't mean the only time that I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ is on Sunday morning twice and on Sunday evening and on Wednesday evening. No. My life is to be lived as an ambassador. I do all kinds of unusual things during the week. I do funerals. I do this and that. There's all kinds of stuff that entails the week that a preacher has. And I'm into all kinds of stuff, and I like that. I am not just an ambassador when I'm behind this pulpit. I'm not just doing that work of the apostle when I'm behind this pulpit, but I'm to be doing it everywhere I go. I'm to be an apostle, an ambassador at the Farm Bureau and Barry's, Papa's Cafe and the Mexican restaurant. Those are just a few places I've been in the last few days. And so are you. You see, the work that you do is wonderful. It's good. The way you provide, it's great. The routine of your life, that's great. But do not get caught up with the routine of life that you forget your main mission. Paul was a tent maker by profession. But whether he was a tent maker or whether he was a prisoner, he was always an apostle. He was always proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We should be determined as God's church to go out of this place and tell other people about the love of Christ and share with a smile and joy in our heart what God has done in our lives. You see, if the only time we get church is on Sunday morning, and we've missed our real mission. Paul said, I want you to know my mission. My mission is that I've been called, I've been invited by God to be an apostle, to share truth and share Jesus everywhere I go. Paul who? He said, here's the deal. I want you to know something. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm called to be an apostle. And thirdly, look what the Bible says here in this first verse. He says, I'm separated under the gospel of God. Separated. That word separated in other places is translated severed. He says, I have severed myself from the will of Paul. I've severed myself from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I've severed myself. I've separated myself from the world and to the Lord. He says, I've separated myself under the gospel of God. You know, Paul had made some mistakes in his past. You remember that Saul of Tarsus was his name before he got saved? He'd made some big mistakes in the past. You know what Paul had separated himself to? He had separated himself to Phariseeism. He was a zealous follower of the Old Testament law, and he denied with great fervor Jesus Christ when he first came and lived his life and died on the cross and was buried and rose again. He denied him with great fervor. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul was guilty of seeing many folks persecuted and even killed for being Christians before he got saved. Now, the Apostle Paul, he said, at this point, I want you to know something. I am separated under the gospel of God. He had been separated to religion. You know what religion will do for you? It'll make you a miserable mess. Yuck. Yuck. I don't want to be stuck in some mold and have to march to some order that's not written in the scriptures. Yuck. I don't want to do things just because we've always done it that way and somehow appease the outside layer of my conscience with some religious activity. That's not why I go to church. If that's all church was about, I wouldn't be here. If that's all the Bible had to offer, I wouldn't be. I'd do something that mattered for life, because evidently if all you're stuck in is some religious form, eternity doesn't make any difference. Paul said, now look, I've been separated to religion in the past, but I met Jesus and he changed my life. He'd been separated to a personal zeal, and it had come up in error and wrong. He'd fought hard for the wrong thing. He said, but when I met Jesus, I separated myself to the gospel. Let's see what the Bible says in verse number 1. He says, I've separated myself unto the gospel of God. What did he separate himself to? The gospel of God. Now, don't let people mess with you about this word gospel. The word gospel means good news. And the good news of God is not just some warm and fuzzy feeling. Some people say, I'm in the gospel ministry, and they go around trying to give people goosebumps and warm and fuzzies. It's not some exterior feeling. The gospel is more than just some smiling face and activity. The gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? Paul says, I'm glad you ask. He says, my purpose. Who is Paul? He says, I'm separated the gospel of God. He said, you know, I tried religion. He said, I tried zeal. I tried fervor. I tried what the world had to offer and what religion had to offer. He says, but I now am separate. I've severed myself from the world, and I'm separated to the gospel of God, the good news of God. Really, what's that? He says, let me tell you. He says, the gospel of God, verse number 2, the gospel of God which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. He says, now when I write to you this book of Romans, and I tell you what it means to be saved, and I tell you this truth from the Bible, this how Jesus and the Old Testament fits together, I want you to know something. What I'm here for is to tell you about the gospel of God, and it started in the Old Testament. It started with the prophets. He says, I'm not coming up with some new religion for myself. Now look, if you meet a preacher that wants to point you to him, run for your life. But if you meet somebody that says, let me get out of the way because all I'm here to do is take you to the cross. I'm here to point you to the gospel. I'm here to point you to God. God can help you. I'll try, and I'll try to be a good representative of Christ. But the bottom line is, I'm just a man and I mess up too, but Jesus can change your life. And Paul said, I'm just here for the sake of the gospel. I'm here for the sake of the gospel of God, which was promised afore in the Old Testament. He says, this is nothing new. This is all about the Old Testament. Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament. What's amazing about Jesus is for thousands and thousands of years before Christ, the Bible prophesied specific details of what Jesus would be like, that he would be born in Bethlehem of a virgin, that he would be, that he would die on the cross. And God in his word prophesied long before Christ was ever born, long before Christ was ever crucified, God prophesied exactly what would happen. The details of the Old Testament prophecy regarding Christ, they could not possibly be fulfilled. It's more likely to win the lottery multiple times than it is for all the details of the Old Testament to be fulfilled in one person. And they were fulfilled in one person. That person was the Lord Jesus Christ, who's born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, died on the cross at Golgotha, buried in a barred tomb, and rose again the third day victoriously. Paul said, I want you to know something. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus is not something new. He says, I'm not trying to give you some new thing. There was a guy in New York City many years ago who went into an apartment room all by himself, and he was burdened, wanted to know more about, wanted to get in tune with his inner self and meet up with God. And he prayed a Bible verse. He said, I prayed, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He giveth to all men liberally. And he said he got in his room and prayed this prayer and prayed and prayed, and God spoke to him, and he met the real Jesus. This is what he said. He said, I met the real Jesus. But it wasn't the same Jesus that was in Nazareth. It was the Jesus of New York City. And the Jesus of New York City, he's the Jesus for this day and this age. And this man, he started promoting his Jesus and promoting himself. And he made a publishing company and called it The Watchtower. Committed thousands and thousands and thousands of people to this cult. He's pointing folks to himself. Paul said, don't get this wrong. It's not about me. It's about the gospel of God. It started in the Old Testament. It's been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It ain't me. It's Him. And He rose again from the dead. He says, it's all about Jesus. He continues in verse number 3. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. The seed of David according to the flesh. Paul says, it's not me, it's all about Him, and He came from the right seed. We can prove, like the Old Testament said, He came from David, King David. He came from that line like the Old Testament said He would. He said, not only can we prove His heritage, but we can also prove some more things about Him. He says in verse number 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power. He said, God the Holy Ghost, when He got God the God spoke from heaven when He was baptized and declared Him to be God, the Son of God. And He has declared this power according to the Spirit of holiness. He was sinless. He was perfect. And He rose from the dead. His resurrection by the resurrection from the dead. He said His resurrection, He rose from the dead just like He said He would. He said God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been proven to be the Messiah. He is the Lord Jesus. He says in verse number 5, by whom, by Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship. He says, look, just a reminder, God gave me His grace. You know what? If you're here today and you've been saved, God gave you His grace. You know what grace is? Grace is when you do get what you don't deserve. When you do get what you don't deserve. What do I deserve? I deserve condemnation. I'm a sinner. What did I get? I got God's grace. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. You know what Paul's writing here? He says, I remember the day I received the grace of God through salvation. He said, I was a hell-deserving sinner, and I was carrying letters in my hand on the road to Damascus, and I was going to go persecute the church in Damascus, and I was going to do whatever it took to stop this movement, stop this church, stop Jesus and His followers. He says, I was carrying those letters with hate in my heart. God smote me on the road to Damascus, and God didn't send a bright light to burn him to dust. God didn't send a great light to blind him in punishment. God sent the light so he could see the light and put his trust in Christ. And God gave His grace to a man that was persecuting the church. And Paul said, Jesus Christ extended grace to me. He extended grace to me. He gave me another chance. He gave me another opportunity. He saved my soul. He said He's extended grace to me, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. He says, and now I have the opportunity to share this word and be used by God, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. He says, I've got this so I can serve God. He says, folks, I just want you to know that the things I'm getting ready to tell you in the book of Romans, the things I'm getting ready to tell you, it comes from a man who has the right master. Jesus is my Lord. The things I'm getting ready to tell you, he says, it comes from a man with the right mission. He says, I've been called by God as an apostle, an ambassador for this great Savior. He says, and I want you to know this message that I'm getting ready to share with you, it comes from a man with the right message. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. What's all this church stuff about? Why do we put so much effort into meetings and buildings and preparation? What is it? What's it for? Sure, we want our lives to be better. But Paul said, my main mission and my main emphasis, just so you know, is the fact that Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, died on the cross because people are sinners and their sin has to be paid for. He died on the cross. He rose again. He lives forever. Why? So that you and I can live forever. That's why Paul wrote, he said, with the heart, man believes in Jesus. Man believes unto righteousness. with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul says, now you can listen to what I've got to say, because it's not about me at all. It's about the perfect Savior, the Lord Jesus. Do you know that Jesus will change your life? Jesus will change your life. By the way, Paul's relationship with Jesus is what made him effective as he wrote and influenced the church at Rome. The same's true for us. Your relationship with Jesus today will help you and cause you and produce effectiveness in your life today. You see, we must put Christ first. We must let Him sit on the throne of our hearts. We must let Him rule in our homes. Let's make Him first. What have you done with Jesus? Paul said, I want to be effective. And the only way I know to be effective is to make Jesus the master of my life. He says, He's my servant. I'm His ambassador. And I'm just preaching the gospel. He said, that's Paul. That's Paul. And therefore, he says, I hope and I plan on the words that I say having credibility. I want to be credible. Do you? I'm not credible in myself, but I am credible when I represent the Lord. Let's put Jesus first in our lives. If you're here today and you've never been saved, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Do you feel the guilt of sin? Are you condemned in your heart? Jesus Christ has already forgiven you. All you need to do is ask Him to forgive your sins and be your Savior. He'll change your life. If you're not saved, there'll be folks in the back here in just a minute who'd be glad to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you are saved and you're not doing your reasonable service and putting Christ first in your life, you're being servant to other things, I'd encourage you, do business in your heart with God today. Let's determine to see what God can do in our lives when we put Him first.